If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Acts of the Apostles and chapter 16. And I've entitled this morning, You Just Don't Know. You Just Don't Know. Okay, Acts 16, starting to read verse 1. And it says there that Paul came to Derbe and then Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Verse 6 says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Thamosrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. In your Bible, you've probably got a reference there to this little passage being called the Macedonian Call. The Macedonian Call, where God gives this vision to Paul to go and change his route and redirect him, that really form a big part of what is known now as his second missionary journey. And we've got a little map on screen, hopefully, if that works. And Paul's initial plan, and it's quite small because he travelled quite a long way, so to get it on the screen, it's not very big. I'm not sure. Will this work? Here we go. So he starts over here. I've got a shaky hand this morning. Antioch, right. And he sets off, and he goes into this area of Galatia, and he goes to Derbe and Lystra, etc. And his idea was to travel then across this thing, Asia Minor here, to some of these cities. But it says that in verse 6 and 8, they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Interesting. So here they are on this little mission trip, this team going out, but they've got an idea of where they're going to go, they've got an idea of what they're going to do, but the Spirit of God causes them to have a rethink about preaching in this particular area. Have you ever been doing something and maybe sensing that God's called you to go and do something or go somewhere or whatever, and actually you've been partway through the journey and you think, actually, I just feel God's putting the brakes on. Anybody ever have that happen to them? And you just think, okay, what's going on next? So what happened next? So instead of going west, they thought, if we're not supposed to speak in this area of what we've got called Asia on the map there, we'll go north. And so they head north, and they head for this area in Bithynia. And verse 6 and 7, the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to enter Bithynia. So, gone north, not allowed to go there. So, they just track along the border of Asia and Bithynia. And they end up in this place called Troas. And then you hit the sea. And so they're there, and Paul's there. You know, if they'd followed their original plans, they would have been here. I suppose now modern-day Turkey. But they're here, right at this place called Troas. Paul's now been redirected or restricted twice on his journey. And it says in verse 9 that during the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, this area over here. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And I love it. They just said, after Paul had had the vision, we got ready at once to leave, concluding that God had called us to preach in Macedonia. So instant response. They're just like sensitive to what God was saying, sensitive to the Spirit of God. And my question to us today, are we sensitive to what God's saying, what God's doing? You know, at the end of last Sunday morning, we had a great time. Joe did a great thing where he taught and he preached a little bit on suffering. But then at the end of the service, he just gave that time and encouraged us just to wait on God and to be refreshed and be encouraged and be strengthened. How many of you love that sense where God's presence is in the house and it's just like you're meeting with him and it, you know, whatever's been kicking off around you, you get a fresh perspective. And we all need those moments. But these guys needed something. They needed a bit of clarity. They needed a bit of guidance of, actually, where do I go now? What do we do now? And the Spirit comes and speaks, or vision comes to Paul, and they respond immediately. And it's an interesting change of language, actually, when you go from verse 8 to verse 10. If you're in verse 8 and before, you see the writer is saying, and they were stopped from going, and they were stopped from going to Bithynia. But now it says, so we decided that God was speaking, so we are going to Macedonia. Now the writer is with this group, Luke, Dr. Luke, who's written the Acts of the Apostles, is writing in the first person. And actually some commentators wonder if Luke is actually the person that Paul sees in his vision. This person from Macedonia. Now, we've got no concrete evidence of that, but it's just an interesting thought that he may be that person represented in the vision as a man from Macedonia. So Paul and his team obey the vision. If the Macedonians need the gospel, we'll go there. The northern and central parts of Greece, or modern-day Greece. So they travel from Troas and have a night's kip on an island called Samothrace and then head to Neapolis on the mainland again. And I guess this, in many ways, was the beginnings of the gospel spreading into what we now know as Europe. Up to that time, the spread of the gospel had had limited geography, but now we're stepping into a whole new area of Europe. That Macedonian call changed everything. Church history, individuals, people's lives, individual churches were planted. We'll have a look at that in a moment. You know, if you are sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who knows what God will do? You just don't know what's on God's agenda. And somehow we've just got to be faithful to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and learn to listen to him and hear what he's saying. So let's just quickly have a look at a number of things that happened in Macedonia as a response, as a result of those early missionaries, if you like, responding to that call. Well, first of all, we read it in verse 14 and 15, Lydia's conversion. We got this lady called Lydia, and it says she responded and was baptized, and her whole household were baptized. Don't you just love it when you see somebody come to Christ and take that step of baptism and following Jesus? But it doesn't just stop there. It cascades into the family. And the family gets saved. If you go a little bit later on in Acts chapter 16, we didn't read these verses, but then you read about, still in Philippi, the deliverance of a fortune-telling slave girl. And she's totally transformed, but the people who owned her were not happy. But her life was transformed. But as a result of that, Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. Get thrown in jail, and, do you know, when you respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who knows? Some of us in this room may even get thrown in jail. You see, that's not the cool bit, is it? That's not the... But it's the reality, isn't it? If we're willing to respond to the Holy Spirit, who knows where God will take us? It'll be a great adventure, but there'll be challenges, and it might not always be easy. But as a result of being thrown in jail, the Bible talks about an earthquake that comes, and the resulting outcome is that the jailer gives his life to Christ, and his whole family is saved. Another family saved. Go a little bit further down the chapter. Into the next chapter. And Paul continues his journey and then down into this area called Achaia there. And he ends up speaking, and if you go into Acts chapter 17, you can see this verse 16 through to verse 34. He ends up speaking in a place called the Areopagus in Athens, also known as Mars Hill. And that's where the movers and the shakers and the thinkers and the influences of the day would gather together. And he gets this incredible opportunity to speak. And all of these things are happening because he and those with him were willing to respond to the prompting of God's Holy Spirit. People getting saved. Churches planted. Let's just comment on this. So we've got this little group that we mentioned in Philippi up there. Then we've got Thessalonica there. And then we come down to Corinth here. And all these things are being established. And when you look at the New Testament writings, and you know, five of the New Testament epistles are written to those churches in that area. If Paul and his guys hadn't responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that may not have been the case. But how many of you are so grateful for the writings of 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and the letter to the church of the Philippians? All of these things, because they were ready to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You just don't know what God will do if we respond positively to the prompting of his Holy Spirit. I'll leave that as a backdrop because I want to tell you a story. I'm not sure whether you've ever had a Macedonian call like vision or dream. You may have. But many of you will probably recognize, yeah, I've been prompted and sensed the Holy Spirit asking me to do something and prompting me to go to somebody or say something or visit somewhere or do something. Well, sometimes when that happens, we don't always know what it's going to mean. Maybe we don't fully understand what's going on. But the root of all that is, are we willing to be obedient when we sense God prompting us? And the story I want to tell starts about 11 years ago, probably. And some friends of ours, and have visited the church here on numerous occasions, called Dwayne and Chris White. If you want to put the next screen up, Sarah, thanks. This is Dwayne and Chris. About 11 years ago, they were leading a missions organization called Beyond These Shores. And they were based in a town called, get the right one, Decatur in Texas. And Dwayne was traveling quite a lot and training people for ministry, etc. And our Matt, our eldest son, went and did an internship with him out there in Decatur, probably about 12 years ago, something of that order. I'm looking at Anne-Marie for confirmation. That's why I was looking down there. But then about 11 years ago, they started sensing that God had called them to go and plant a church about 30 miles away in a place called Denton in Texas. Here's Dallas down here, Fort Worth, so we're in Texas. So Denton, about an hour north of Dallas. And they sense God calling them to go and start this church. And as they started to talk about it, both myself and Anne-Marie sensed something. We just sensed we should go and support them at their launch weekend in whatever way would be useful to them. And you think, just two Brits and their children, so it was five of us went. You know, what impact would that have? And so we went Easter weekend 2007, and there were a number of events planned on that weekend. So we gave out leaflets, you know, to the start of a new church. We got involved in a diaper drive. Anybody know what a diaper drive is? Diaper being nappy, okay. And so they had this nappy giveaway. And so they'd hired this community facility. And I can't remember, it was the Friday or the Saturday morning, we had all sorts of activities for kids and things, and huge amounts of disposable nappies. And it was in quite a poor area of Denton, downtown Denton. And so we invited people who needed just the basics for babies to come and get some free nappies. That apparently is what a diaper drive is. You're giving away nappies. How exciting. So we got involved with that. We got involved in cutting grass for people. Steph dressed as the Easter Bunny because there was a big Easter egg hunt as well. We helped facilitate a picnic and various activities in a couple of parks. We shifted loads of equipment, so there's no new there then. That happens on a regular basis here. So we just got involved. We just got hands-on involved. Didn't go to speak, didn't go for any platform profile or anything like that, but just to serve, and we were there, the five of us, myself and Anne-Marie, and our three kids. End of last year, and we'd heard some great stories as time has gone on. And end of last year, Dwayne and Chris were starting to say, well, we ought to celebrate 10 years. So on the date, which happens to be the weekend before Easter 2017, we're going to celebrate a 10th anniversary of the Bridge Church in Denton. So, again, myself and Anne-Marie says, wouldn't it be great just to go and celebrate with them and to give thanks for God for what's happened? So 3 weeks ago, we were out in Texas, and you think, David, why on earth are you telling us this story now? Well, it was great to see what's happened. So regularly, they have around 300 people on a Sunday morning worshipping God. That's a great thing. They've used all sorts of hired facilities. And 2 years ago, they bought a building. Anybody want to see it? Well, you're going to anyway. if they take that, there you go. Former Baptist church. And they're reconfiguring it, and it'll seat just over 500, which is great. And Dwayne was really excited when they got the building because it's on a road, and the road's called Fish Trap Road. And he thought, let's trap some fish for Jesus, you know? And so that's the home of the Bridge, so that's where we were 3 weekends ago. And when we were there this last time, again, they were doing one or two community outreach events, so they did another diaper drive. Whee! I've actually got a photo that I didn't take. Bring the next one up. It's in the... No, that's not it. There's one where myself and Anne-Marie stood. There you go, that's it. And we're in a sports hall, as you can see, and there's kids' activities going on. And all the nappies are over here. I think that's what Anne-Marie's got that funny look on her Facebook when she saw how many nappies there were. Oh, my goodness. And so, again, it was community stuff going on. And then on the Saturday evening, they had this big gala event. So that was that slide we've just had, Sarah. That's the one. And so their main auditorium, which didn't look like this when they bought it. I mean, massive screens and backlit lights. And, it's just totally transformed. It had pews. They've all gone. And there it's configured with tables. We'd had a meal together. And that's Bishop Tony Miller. Some of you will recognize him from the One event. And he's speaking at that event. And so it was great to go and celebrate with them. Little did we know that they would honour us. which was a bit of a surprise. So next slide, Sarah. They called us up on stage. Our Steph was with us and son-in-law Tim. But three of us, of course, were with them 10 years ago, and they just wanted to honour us and called us up on stage. And Danielle, who's very heavily pregnant in that picture, is chatting to us. And they gave us an award. How cool is that? So that was great. And there's some great things happening. But I want to tell you the highlight of the weekend for me. The highlight of the weekend for me was meeting a guy on the Saturday morning at that diaper drive. And his name was Sergio. Put him on screen, Sarah. I was introduced to Sergio. And he said, "You're David Jones?" I said, "Yes." He said, "This is fantastic." He said, "Thank you so much." I said, "What for?" He said, "For coming 10 years ago. Thank you for investing, you and your family, in the time and the finance it took to go over there." So I wasn't quite sure where this was going. And he just kept saying thank you. And he said, "If you and the others hadn't started the church that weekend, I probably would not be alive today." And he started to tell me that 10 years ago, his life was a real mess. And a leaflet came through his door, inviting him to a new church that was just about to start. And he decided to go that very first Sunday. And he said, "I got there, and a very friendly greeting from a big guy on the door almost put me off." And I know who's talking about. This is a big guy. And he said, "I suddenly thought, I don't want to be here. What am I doing here?" But he came into the room where we were meeting in what was a university facility. And he said, "I sat through the service. And as the service went on, I realized that I really needed God's intervention in my life. If not, I would probably die in a short space of time because of the lifestyle choices I had made." When an appeal was given at the end of that service, about 20 people responded. And Sergio was one of them. And he was so excited. And he said, "But that's not the end of the story. Because now my wife's got saved. All my kids have given their lives to Jesus. And a wider group of my family is now in the church as well." And he said, "I just want to thank you so much." Well, he's got tears in his eyes. By this point, I've got tears in my eyes. And Dwayne, who stood there, we're in the foyer of this community building on the Saturday morning, and Dwayne's got tears in his eyes. And Dwayne said, "Do you know," he said, "where Sergio lives, we weren't originally going to leaflet that. But," he said, "right at the very end, we'd got all the leaflets sorted, we'd planned out the areas of Denton that we were going to leaflet. And," he said, "right at the very end, I just felt God prompt me, no, we need to get another 300 leaflets and do this bit of downtown Denton. And that's where Sergio lives." The prompting of the Spirit changed everything for this guy and for this family. I don't know what it looked like 3 weeks ago, yesterday morning, with three of us stood in this community building and people were coming out for other things as well, and there's three of us. But what a privilege to be part, a small part, of a big transformation for a guy and his family. You know, and after an hour of chatting with him, his wife appeared and their kids. And she flung her arms around me and kept saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." It might not have been a Macedonian call. It might not have been a big vision or a dream, but it was just a prompting that myself and Anne-Marie felt that we should go 10 years ago. And if I went around the room today, there'd be other people in the room who said, "Yeah, I can reflect, I can associate with that, with things that I've sensed God called me to do, or people that I've sensed God called me to go and see, or somebody I felt just to go and pray with." There's just been that prompting of the Holy Spirit. And you know, at the time, and for 10 years, we never knew that story. Dwayne, the pain, never told us. But it took us to go back to find out what had happened. This life with Jesus is an incredible adventure, if we will let it be. If we'll be open to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I was sharing something at our staff meeting on Tuesday morning, and because from Denton in Texas, we then drove up the next weekend to Oklahoma City, and we were with a guy called Lawrence Neeson. Some of you again will have met him at or heard him at the One event, and Destiny Church, and Joe was out there for a number of months. Was it last year? He was there, or the year before? Year before, 2 years ago, at Lawrence's church. And when we arrived, Lawrence said, "Let me go and take you and show you the sights of Oklahoma City." And so we went and looked where the Oklahoma bombing was in 2008, and there's a big memorial there now. And then he took us to another part, and he showed us this. Do you want to put this next screen up? And you think, what on earth is that? Well, the big bronze statues. Huge. I mean, that horse's head is probably touches me. So they're actually a little bit larger than life. And this is just a fraction of this commemorative piece of art, for want of a term. And so there are a number of more horses and wagons and things stretched quite away. And it is to commemorate something called the Oklahoma Run of 1889. And it was when people were given the opportunity to go and stake a claim on a piece of land. It was the Wild West. And they were willing and ready just to launch everything, to pack their families into their wagons and go for it, for the adventure. And I encourage our staff on Tuesday morning, let's not lose sight of the adventure that God has called us to. If we will be willing to open our hearts, not only to the encouraging and blessing and strengthening of the Holy Spirit, but also the prompting of the Holy Spirit to go and do when God calls us to. Who knows what he will accomplish? I'm encouraged when I read scripture. I don't know about you. Certain bits encourage me. There's a bit in Acts chapter 15 that really encourages me as a guy. We won't go into that too much. But in Acts 15 and verse 27-28, the council of the church in Jerusalem are meeting. And James stands up and says some really important things, which is great. But they come to this conclusion. Having made some decisions, it says, "We are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing." So they said, "We're going to write some things down for the churches that will be helpful, some directives for them, but we're also going to send Judas and Silas." And verse 28 said, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements." And they begin to list some things. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Sometimes it just seems. There's a sense, you know, this sense God called them to do this. And I just want each one of us to be open to the sensing of the Holy Spirit. So who's up for the adventure? Fine, no, okay. Might as well go home then. Being obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit might just mean that someone's life gets turned around and they find faith in Jesus, like Lydia and her whole family, like Sergio and his whole family. Yeah, you could face some suffering that Joe was talking about last week. Could get even thrown in jail, but who knows, maybe the jailer and his family will get transformed as well. Being obedient to the prompting of the Holy Spirit may just mean that you get the opportunity to speak to the movers and shakers and influencers of this world, a bit like Paul did in the Areopagus. Who knows? Being faithful to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you might even just plant a church. Who knows? You just don't know what God will do as you respond positively to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Jesus. Lord, firstly, we want to thank you for this salvation, of which I guess most, if not all of us in here, are recipients of. That's brought us into this place of relationship with you. And not only that our sins are forgiven and the greatness that that is, not only that we have a destiny in heaven and the wonderful promise that that is, but Lord, that day by day, right here, right now, in the world in which we live, you said you're with us. And you're with us by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, that you are wanting to speak to us, you wanting to prompt us, maybe you wanting to give us visions and dreams in the night. But Lord, on a day-by-day basis, Lord, we want to say, we want to hear from you. Lord, I pray across this congregation that we would be sensitive to the prompting of your Spirit. Lord, that you may do all that is in your heart to do with the people that we're going to rub shoulders with the places that we're going to go, with the things that you're going to get us to do. Lord, may we be effective for your kingdom and for your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. But I just want to ask if there's anyone here today who's never, ever taken that first step on an adventure with Jesus. And you think, this is great, sounds great, but I really don't know this Jesus. Well, today you can. Today, like Sergio did 10 years ago, you can respond and say, Lord, would you come into my life? Would you take me on an adventure with you? The Bible says that, you know, we've all got things that are wrong in our lives. But Jesus died on a cross to set us free from that, to pay the price for the wrong things that we've done, to take away all the guilt and shame associated with it. And as we ask him, he will come and take that weight of guilt. He will start us on a new course. The Bible talks about us being new creations, brand new people, the old gone, the new has come. And right here, right now, if that's you, and you say, I want this to be a new day in my life, I want to ask Jesus into my life, I want to ask him to forgive me of things that I've done wrong in the past, to wipe away the pain of that, then right here, right now, I want to pray for you. I want everybody just to close their eyes for a moment. And if you want me to pray for you along those lines, you want to ask Jesus into your life to go on a great adventure with him, and might you just lift up your hand while everybody's got their eyes closed. And I'm just not going to make a big thing of this. I just want to pray for you. If that's you and you're here today, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to ask him for forgiveness, and you want to start this adventure, just raise your hand right now. Somebody? Okay. I haven't seen a hand. If you have raised your hand, just put it up real high because I've missed it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Great. Right. I just want to pray. Father, thank you that when there's a sincerity in our hearts to ask you to come in, that you come and you change everything. And Lord, would you do that right now for this person who's responded? As they come to you, you've seen the desires of their heart. I pray that you would flood them now with that sense of forgiveness and the sense that you are with them by your Spirit, and from this day forward, life will never be the same again. Lord, we commend this person to you today and pray your blessing on them, your protection round about them, your strength for them, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If there's anybody here who says, you know, I think I'm missing a bit of the adventure. Yeah, I could look back. There's a day in my life when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I asked him for forgiveness. I done all that. But actually, when you talk about adventure, I think there's a bit more. If that's you today, I just want to pray. And if you want to raise your hand right now, if you want me to pray for you, I'd just love to pray. Anybody want a bit more adventure? Yeah, a bit more adventure. Yeah. Why don't you stand, lift up your hands together and say, Lord, here we are. Here we are before you. Perhaps some musicians would come back. Lord Jesus, come among us, we pray. Lord, we thank you as we stood last week and just opened our hands and lifted our arms to you, that the sense of your presence in this building was wonderful. We thank you for the encouragement that that brought. We thank you for the strengthening that people sensed. We thank you, Lord, for that sense of your nearness among us. And I pray right now, Lord, as we lift our hands to you, Lord, you'll see that our hearts are open and willing to be prompted by you. Lord, would you take our offering of our lives today and say, here we are. Prompt us, guide us, we pray, in this adventure. Deepen the adventure with those that have responded this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well,